columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Football at 4. Here's The Drive with Tyler Columbus and D-Mac.
Tyler, I want to play Greg Jennings. And I want you to listen closely to Greg Jennings as he talks about who he thinks the Broncos should consider a quarterback.
I would not have traded, and I could understand why teams wouldn't have traded draft picks for Cam Newton when you kind of saw the writing on the wall. I don't take it hard, or I don't think it's a shot at Cam Newton. I think it was just the situation and the circumstances. However, teams that are looking for quarterbacks or that could use his talent, the Denver Broncos, the Miami Dolphins, they should be chomping at the bit, in my opinion, to get a guy who's proven and who can also nurture a young guy if they want to bring up a young guy behind them. Cam Newton has success in this league. He's been a league MVP. He knows how to win, and he's going to bring that positive influence on that locker room wherever he ends up.
You buying or selling Cam Newton to the Broncos?
No, not yet. There might come a point in time where you need to consider every available veteran backup quarterback you could possibly find. But you bring Cam Newton into this team, it's going to be nothing but a distraction at this point. You know, the reality is the point of saying there we could get there, it's not that far off in reality where you'll be considering Cam Newton. I mean, certainly Jameis Winston, if he were available at a point where you actually needed a quarterback. But that's training camp. You know, if you get to training camp and Drew Locke hasn't had any OTAs, he hasn't had time with his guys, he hasn't had an opportunity to learn the new offensive system, man, it's going to be a little bit scary heading into a season with a guy that's essentially a rookie quarterback. You got a new play caller, your fifth offensive coordinator in 5 years, and they haven't had time to meet. Right now, though, man, if you brought in Cam Newton, that would create such a division in this locker room. It would be ridiculous. And then on top of that, I guess for me personally, my only interest in Cam Newton would be as a backup quarterback, not as a starting quarterback, right? Cam is... he's probably done, man. Watching the way he was throwing last year, I would only want him as a backup guy that could come in, be a spark, use his feet, do creative things you weren't doing with your starter. And, you know, you could use him in a limited role where he could still excel.
Okay. Was he performing poorly, throwing the ball, having issues because he was hurt or because he's just lost it?
Probably both, man. It's probably both. You know, the reality is the older you get, the more injuries that pile up, right? One injury, you get over. The next one, it hurts a little bit more. By the time you get to your eighth or ninth year, all of a sudden you're wondering, hey, is my knee going to hold up? Is my shoulder going to hold up? Am I okay to throw this football? And when you get to the point where you are doubting yourself and your athletic ability, or if you're doubting whether one of your body parts is going to hold up, man, that affects everything. It affects the way that you train. It affects the way that you get excited about going to practice, going to games. Cam Newton, man, the reality is he's hurt. And he's hit a point mentally where he's questioning himself of whether he could even do the things that he used to be able to do. You know, when you saw the way that he came out and he couldn't hit if he had a target that was 10 foot wide this year, he wouldn't have been able to hit that when he was actually in game mode. To me, it all just added up.
He looks good in the workouts that he's posted on social media.
He looks jacked. I mean, he looks like a middle linebacker. I'll tell you that much. The dude is swole.
Yeah,
does it amaze you, like professional athletes, when they post all these videos that are in like really kind of small gyms that don't feel like that's where a professional athlete would be training?
You tell me.
No, it doesn't surprise me because I know where I used to train when I was playing. But yeah. I don't know. It kind of looks weird optics-wise sometimes.
I think sometimes, hey man, this is just a theory for sure. I didn't play the game. But I think sometimes there's something to be said for, you know, a not a fancy place. Like, it's more like,
oh, yeah,
mentally,
yeah,
you're in the dungeon, you know, with all respects to our buddy McChesney.
I mean, I never trained at Gold's Gym, but I mean, that's kind of what I'm picturing here. You know, you go to Gold's Gym, you're going to show up. You're going to put your work in.
We were lucky enough when I was doing the baseball tour with my son to get a tour of where Ohio State plays. And they had this pretty tiny room. And they actually, the coach who gave us the tour was like, yeah, we put our weight room here on purpose. Like, it wasn't much more than a long, skinny closet. And it had like all this really expensive gear. But, you know, he said on purpose we're doing this. And he said, if the guys, it's Ohio State, okay? It's Ohio State. So you can go work out at, you know, some pretty amazing facilities they have there at good old Ohio State. But he said that the guys preferred to just be here in this sort of environment. Like, it made them work a little bit harder. That's a thing, huh?
Sort of. Sometimes I like country club benefits. Sometimes I like a nice little steam room, a nice little sauna, you know?
That's awesome.
Is that hot tub clean over there?
All right. So at the end of the day, Cam Newton, I think we agree on that. I think Cam's personality is just so big. And this is why I think Jameis Winston, Tyler, would be okay, though. I do not think you would get the same sort of issues.
Okay, well, hold on. When you say okay, for what? What's he doing on this team?
Backup quarterback.
As a backup QB, you don't think that would be distracting?
No. Well, not like Cam Newton.
He just threw 30 touchdowns.
Yeah, okay. Well,
they
all right.
30 INTs as well.
Well, I don't know. I mean, what was Ryan Tannehill compared to Marcus Mariota?
Well, my point is, when you get in a situation like this, when you've got two names, one's young, one's proven, guess what? All it takes is one bad game. Not even two or three. It takes one bad game to plant a seed of doubt amongst all those teammates, and then you've got a huge division in the locker room.
Let me ask you a bigger question about Jameis Winston. Because I think we're having some weird conversations about the mentalness of Drew Locke, and I am a little confused by that, because if you're really good enough to be the guy as the starting quarterback, you're a type A personality anyways. You should be able to handle any competition.
You're missing the message here, man. A quarterback, it is about the team. It's not about the player. It's not so much about the position. It's about protecting the team. And when you've got two guys, nobody knows who really is the guy. That's a problem, man. Quarterback is the heartbeat of the team. Matter of fact, 99.9% of the time, your starting quarterback is the identity of your team. That's the message that everybody's going to follow. That's how guys are going to try to replicate. It just gets confusing when you've got guys like that in the building.
All right, quick, not ethical, but quick sports dilemma question.
Okay.
Do you think Jameis Winston, starting now, has a better future in the NFL or in Major League Baseball?
I would imagine the NFL. I don't know. I mean, he's been doing the NFL for a long time, and he's pretty dang good at it, by the way.
He's pretty dang good as a pitcher for Florida State.
I get it, but I mean, this is what you've been training at for the last four seasons. How many seasons?
But
been?
Who's going to give him those opportunities? Is he really going to have an opportunity to play?
All it takes is one, man, you know, and if the New England Patriots come calling, if somebody that has got a situation, heck, I mean, if I was Jameis Winston or Cam Newton, I would be begging the Broncos to give me a job, because there are very few opportunities where you see a young guy that has not established himself. And I'm not saying anything about Drew Locke.
No.
You know, it's just the fact that you say that is a young player that I have no idea if that guy's going to succeed or not. And my opportunity is about 3 months down on the road.
I would be lying. I want to be a backup. I'm okay being a backup.
Exactly.
I'm gonna be quiet, all that, just lie. And then
I'm good. It's Drew's team. Drew's team, you know. Everybody's gonna follow him. I'm just here to support him.
Well, we'll keep our eyes on it. Okay, when we come back, we'll find out where we are with our baseball quarantourney. That's going on, where you want The Sandlot to be the best baseball movie of all time. And James Merrillat will be here to stir the pot. That's happening next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliant Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliant has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliant Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
All guests appear on the Fireball Hotline. Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
We're joined by 104.3thefan.com's James Merrillat as the Quarantourney has come to the final in terms of best baseball movie. So this is a fun thing we have going at 104.3thefan.com. It'll be this and other types of tournaments as time goes on here. James, first of all, how are you, my friend?
James is not here, D-back.
Oh, he's not there. Oh, sorry. My bad.
No, he might be.
James, okay. My man. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing well. So in terms of the Quarantourney for Best Baseball Movie, we are at the finals, and the two movies that it has come down to is The Sandlot against Major League, which are like... I know this is a terrible mistake.
This is just a feel-good moment.
Because both of these are Tyler's two favorite baseball movies. I cannot believe that it has come down to these two movies.
I certainly can. Anytime you turn it over to, you know, the masses to vote, you never know how it's going to turn out. But look, I thought of this after I was on with you guys last week and you beat me up for my selections on baseball movies. Major League is one of those movies I like. Every time it's on, I stop and I'm going to watch it to the end.
So you're a good man, James.
That one I'm fine with. Sandlot's pretty overrated to me. I'm not a big fan.
That's exactly what I said.
Why don't you and D-Mac?
So overrated.
D-Mac go hang out at Haterville.
It's got a couple of funny lines, and You're Killing Me Smalls has a funny T-shirt. But aside from that,
you play ball like a. Never mind.
It's not that strong of a story. It loses my interest. I get bored watching it.
Oh.
What's the story? Where are we going with The Sandlot? What's the deal? To find out, you know, the dude with the bad dog? Like, we find out he's a nice guy? That's it?
No, it's the underdog. The underdog can beat the big dog, you know, man?
I will tell you this, though. From the 16 movies that were in there, my recommendation, and we're all stuck at home and, you know, going through Netflix, there's a movie in there called The...
Right.
Oh, my gosh. The Kurt Russell's dad and, you know, late 70s and the way the sports world was up in Portland.
Right.
Highly recommend that to anybody. It's worth the hour and a half of your time. It's fantastic.
That movie is better, 1,000 times better in terms of a baseball movie than The Sandlot or Major League.
Yeah, but nobody would know because nobody's heard of it.
Well, it's a documentary. So it's you know, it's not like a movie. But, I mean, how is... Hey, man, I don't know. Like, Moneyball to me is a baseball movie, and that movie's freaking unreal. I think it's incredible. So Bad News Bears to me is a unbelievable baseball movie. The original Bad News Bears.
Yep.
So so I'm going to vote for, because I think The Sandlot's so overrated, so I'm voting for Major League, but...
D-Mac never had any friends to play baseball with when he was growing up. It's really what it comes down to. James, did you toss the ball around today on opening day?
We haven't yet, but, you know, still time to squeeze that in. It's nice out now. The sun's out. So, you know, me and the kids can get that in. They're kind of in basketball mode at the moment. So we haven't – it seems too early for opening day. It's March 26th. It doesn't feel like baseball season to me yet. But
well, it's not, so you're good on that front. It's not.
True. But yeah, man, listen, I heard Patrick Saunders on earlier and he was telling all the, you know, his favorite memories from opening day. And I was there in 93 when EY hit the home run and just thinking about all those stories and it just makes you really miss it. I'm like, well, this is kind of cool. I'm hearing all these stories and it's kind of depressing. It made me long for, baseball. So hopefully we all get back to that soon, and those are the kind of memories we're enjoying and talking about.
All right. You know, we're talking about what change would you like to see happen if we're just talking about baseball right here. If you could make one change in baseball, what would it be?
Wow. Well, I hate the DH, so that's probably going to be an unpopular opinion.
You hate the DH?
Yes.
You want to see
American League games? They take 4 hours. We have to watch the Yankees and the Red Sox every Sunday night on ESPN, and the game takes 4 hours and 12 minutes. It drives me nuts.
So you
what does that DH
pitchers,
have to do with that? What do you mean?
Wait, I'm losing my brains here. So you'd rather just see pitchers strike out? You think that would be more interesting?
I like the strategy where the manager has to think about, well, am I going to send Freeland back out for the seventh, or do I pull him here for a pinch hitter? I like that. I like making the skipper think a little bit. I mean, anybody could manage in the American League. You fill out your card and you put your feet up and you have a beer or nothing to do.
James, James, you're in America. People like runs. People like points. People like
they don't like 4 hour sporting events though. So the DH
that's your
go.
I cannot believe
that has
I
nothing
set
to do with
this.
The time.
This listen, I set you up, an intelligent person, James Marilat, with some sort of
you guys aren't that intelligent. You don't like the Sandlot.
And the best that you could come up with is the stupidest rule that exists in all of pro sports, and you want more of the dumbest rule in all of pro sports.
Yes, I prefer National League Baseball. You know, that's the game I watch all the time. I prefer it. You know, the season's too long. I don't like having games in November, but look, I don't think they're going to do anything about that.
How do you shorten the games? How do you shorten the games? That's the real beef, right? So how do you shorten it?
Yeah. Well, you know, I do like some of the ideas they've come up with, pitching changes. It drives me nuts to be at the game, and it's just guy after guy after guy coming in to face one pitcher.
Correct.
And, you know, the righty-lefty matchups and all that, or one hitter, that stuff drives me crazy. So
yeah.
The rule they were going to start it this year with three batters. Like,
yep.
Okay, cool. I like that. If you're going to come in, you got to be able to face three batters. Those kind of things I like, because that absolutely drives me nuts. Patrick was talking about, you know, too low adjusting his gloves 12 times at every at-bat. I'm with him on that. But you know what? I think I'm in the minority for the most part, guys. I like baseball as it is. I very rarely go down to Coors Field and think, man, I really wish I would have been here for 30 minutes less. Like, I enjoy my time there. Being at the ballpark, the game, it's about the right length to me. I think it's kind of one of those things where it's trendy to bash baseball and it's all, we got to, you know, modernize it. I like the game kind of as it is. So I guess that's probably why I have a hard time coming up with things I'd change. It's the game I grew up watching and playing and liking, and I'm fine keeping it that way.
All right. What's new and cool on 1043thefan.com? I'm sure it's been an interesting challenge for you and Kendall and Cecil and Johnny, but what's cooking? I like the corn tourney. I mean, we're definitely talking about it, even though it's, you know, didn't work out my way, but, you know.
We'll have a new one rolling out next week. So, you know, another topic. I'm not sure what Johnny Hart's got on tap, but hopefully it's as engaging and as good as baseball movies. Still doing draft previews. So, you know, this sounds like it would be boring. Like, yesterday was centers, today was guards. But when you look at the Broncos, they're like, okay, well, who's going to be their center? And if they put Glasgow there, well, then who's going to be their right guard? It's actually been, you know, kind of interesting to go through the prospects out there. So we're continuing to do draft previews. Working on a little project that I don't want to give away too much with you guys that
yes.
You know, could kind of work with some of the high school kids out there. So
yeah, that'll be cool.
A lot going on, a lot of cool things we're doing. You know, we'll be going behind the scenes, kind of showing what hosts on the station do to, you know, fill their day while they're quarantined. So got to get creative, but it'll be fun.
All right, James, we appreciate it. James Marilat,
all right, guys.
Brought to you by Old Chicago Pizza and Tap Room. That is James Marilat from 1043thefan.com, brought to you by Old Chicago Pizza and Tap Room. Okay, I'll kill you with truth, and I'll do it coming up, Tyler, where there'll be something positive. So it's not being me negative. I'm not Eric Dickerson here.
This is good. This is a change.
I'm gonna leap onto something positive that can come from all of this, and that's next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Columbus and D-Mac.
Truth teller.
It's time for D-Mac to kill you with truth.
I want the truth!
Yeah, the truth.
And the truth shall set you free!
Here on The Drive.
Okay, I'm going to try to stay positive here because there's so much negative stuff. And trust me, I've had my moments of sadness and just bummed out. And we're all missing something. And it's difficult. It's something that this time period is something we won't forget ever. Trying to stay positive through tough times, hopefully they lead to better ways of doing everything. And at least when it comes to sports, Tyler, what I'm hoping and what I do think the truth will be is that every sport will sort of look at itself again, because every sport is going to have to make some form of compromise this particular year. So I think if you just step back a little bit, and I've always said every sport should be played as if it was invented yesterday. Well, we're getting a unique opportunity, aren't we? That because we've put a pause in our sports landscape completely, that you can really take time and say, is this the right thing or the wrong thing? And I'm looking forward to sports being better once everything gets going again, because there will be time to reflect upon, frankly, everything. So again, I'm going to stay optimistic, and it will be interesting to see what baseball does, how basketball rebounds. Are there better ways to decide a champion? Should things be seeded differently? What rules exist that perhaps we can alter and change? And I'm going to stay optimistic, Tyler, and say the truth is we will take a look at these things, and once we come back as a country and as a sports society, at the end of the day, things actually will be better if we can get through this unbelievably historic, difficult moment. And that, to me, is the truth.
All right, D-Mac, I feel you. You know, oftentimes there are multiple solutions to a problem, right?
Yes.
And there are ways to have a playoff in a shortened season. There's a way to shorten a season if you have to shorten a season. You know, there's a way to have a championship when things have been delayed. So the world is creative. I would expect that we are going to see a lot of creative things that go into effect immediately just to salvage seasons and all that. You know, the carryover from that to the next season will be interesting. It's kind of like the XFL. You know, the XFL, the AAF, you know, these leagues come around and all of a sudden they're testing rules that the NFL has been considering. They've been talking about it, but they haven't quite had the courage to just go ahead and make the change, right? But then when you watch some other league doing it, you realize, wow, okay, not that big of a deal. That's actually easy to implement. Wasn't changing the game. Let's go ahead and bring that into our league. Well, if what happens this year is we've got some sort of creative way to have a championship, and you look at it and you say, okay, I never would have tried that in any given year because I didn't have the cojones to do it, you know? Well, now you look at it and you say, okay, that was pretty good.
Yeah, and maybe it sticks around. I think at the end of the day, when you think about it, I guess this is centered around finding a champion, right? Like, how do we determine who wins it all? You know, things have changed over the years. I mean, even baseball. I mean, it used to be the fact that only one team, you won the pennant. Well, that means you won the American League or the National League, and the two teams that won their pennants would play in the World Series. Well, that's two teams. So you tell me, are things better or worse that more teams at the end of the year can compete in some sort of playoff fashion to determine a champion? Is that better or worse?
I would say worse, because I mean, in the long run, you don't want teams that didn't earn the right, have the right to make the playoffs, you know? You have to earn the right to some degree, and so of course you're going to open up the gates here for some team that didn't deserve to be there actually have a deep run, right? Well, that's okay, because they deserved it this year if they win the games, but yeah, in the long run, man, you gotta get rid of some weeds, you know?
You know, I guess I just fall back on the fact, Tyler, sports essentially exist because of athletes, but sports aren't for athletes. Professional sports. You know, professional sports are ultimately a form of entertainment for the fans. So why not make things more interesting for the fans more often? As long as, you know, it all makes sense.
Well, yeah, I mean, the argument to that, though, is that in the long run, specifically when you allow more teams in the playoffs, is that really making things better for the fans, right? Like, you want the most competitive product at the end of the year, and there's got to be a reward for all your hard work throughout the season.
Jeez, I think it makes it better for the fans. I love the fact that the NFL is going to expand to two more teams. I love the wild card in baseball. I just think it should be best two out of three, not a single elimination game. But I'm not going to lie. The single elimination game is really exciting. I just don't like how, like, the NFL, for example, the division stuff to me is a little depressing. And maybe that's just because Patrick Mahomes is in our division, Tyler. I'm not sure. I could be slanted by that.
It's looking tough. It's looking tough for a while.
And, like, in the NBA, it really feels preposterous, right? Like, why in the world aren't the teams just seeded at the end of the year in the NBA, and then you kind of go from there, more like the NCAA tournament?
Right.
But that's just me. And listen, I'm trying to stay optimistic here that things are going to get better eventually. And I was thinking this. Like, I just heard, like, the Indianapolis 500 is going to be pushed back to August, right?
Mm-hmm.
Man, knock on wood, we all get through this, things return to normal. Sports is going to be pretty awesome when you think about it for a second, in like four months.
Oh, boy. Right. I mean, you remember how exciting it was when we had the Nuggets and the Avalanche going on at the same time last year? It was every single night.
Right.
You just flip from playoff game to playoff game, and that would happen for like 2.5 weeks. Every single night you were watching something cool. That's what this is going to be. You have every single sporting event in the world trying to get crammed in.
Well, let's keep our fingers crossed, and hopefully the truth is very positive. Diana Russini from ESPN had a lengthy look at Trent Williams, your pal, and it created an interesting dialogue in terms of what would it take to get Trent Williams, and the best free agent list for 2021 is out. There are no Broncos on the list. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? We'll hit that next.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
Diana Russini works for ESPN, and we've talked quite a bit about Trent Williams, Tyler. And so this is a series of tweets from earlier today. Oh, I just had it and lost it. I am an idiot.
Not the first time.
I'll find it. Give me a second. Unbelievable. There we go. Okay, here's the thread. It has been made clear to me there is no salvageable relationship between the Redskins and Trent Williams. I've spoken to multiple sources from both sides, and here's where it stands. Williams met with Ron Rivera for 10 to 15 minutes a couple of weeks ago, and afterwards, there was not a feeling between the two that this was going to work. Trent and his reps noticed that the team met with free agent players before the meeting with him, which wasn't a strong first impression of the new regime. Sources say there are still players now on the roster Washington coaches haven't met with. This wasn't intentional, per sources. Okay. Trent has always respected and liked Dan Snyder. Isn't that interesting? There have never been issues. As a former captain, the seven-time Pro Bowler really wants to be able to move on from Washington but still return one day and possibly be part of the Ring of Honor. He wants the relationship to be healthy. The Redskins shopped Williams leading up to the combine and had interest per sources. Interesting. Days after the combine, the club allowed Williams' agent to seek a trade partner. Since then, Williams' agency found a team who want to do business. I'm told Washington tried to negotiate, but believe they can't just give a player like Trent away for a small value in return. From what I learned, Washington believes they have been flexible, and this is on Williams' agency. The agency believes Washington has been inconsistent in their ask. Woo! Okay. A lot to digest there.
That is a lot, no doubt about it, man.
First of all, let me just start with the relationship that Trent Williams has with Dan Snyder.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty positive.
Sounds pretty normal. Dan Snyder is... You're going to be hard-pressed to find a superstar that doesn't like Dan Snyder. A superstar that has played for him, man, he treats him like gold, dude. I remember Brandon Lloyd raved about him. Trent Williams does. I know Robert Griffin had a fantastic relationship with him. I mean, shoot, he was paying for Robert Griffin's honeymoon in France. He treats his superstars like superstars, and it's hard to not like a guy that gives you the red carpet.
Okay. So this issue then has just been with the coaching staff.
Sort of. I mean, that's more or less Trent saying, Dan, thanks for everything you've done for me. I don't want to throw you under the bus on my way out.
Okay. All right. And then he meets with Ron Rivera, and there's still a disconnect. What do you think that's all about?
With Trent at this point, for a long time I thought it was just about the money, but I don't think it's just about the money for Trent. You know, it's simply he wants out of Washington. He wants out of that culture. He wants a chance to start over. So the disconnect is that Trent Williams doesn't want to play for the Washington Redskins. That's the disconnect.
Right.
And I mean, it's not about anything else. He flat out just doesn't want to play for that team.
Okay. There was a team interested, but it didn't come through at the combine. Interesting.
Probably the Browns.
Okay.
The Browns have been in on him from day one. They made an offer that everybody talks about, and I know that they're still interested, so the combine, that makes sense. Maybe
well,
it was
wait,
the Broncos,
they're not interested now. They got Jack Conklin, right?
I said at the combine.
Oh, at the combine. Okay.
That was before Jack Conklin.
Right. Trent Williams will be a free agent next year, no matter what. Do you think Trent Williams will still be available for the Broncos as a free agent next year?
No. I think that something's going to happen. The Redskins are going to deal him, and Trent's going to get a new deal. So if you want Trent Williams, you got to go get him right now. You know, the Redskins got a lot of power in this situation, but Trent's got a little bit of leverage himself. You know, the Redskins, they say, okay, just don't play football, and Trent misses out on two extremely high-earning years of his salary, and he's not getting it back, right? So the Redskins are banking that he's not going to sit out another year of football. Well, Trent, the one thing that he's got in his bag is that if he sits out a year of football and he signs a free agency deal somewhere else, guess how much the Redskins get back in compensatory value?
How much?
Zero.
Oh.
Zero.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah, right? They said that it could get up to as high as a fifth rounder, but it could be as low as zero. So how about that? I mean, you say to the organization, look, you can trade me right now. You can get a second rounder out of it, or I'll just sit out another year of football. I'll come back.
Wow.
I'll be fine. I'll be 32 years old, and you're not going to get anything.
Well, he's okay. Can he do that? Can he sit out and still be eligible for free agency?
I believe so, yes. That's a good question. I believe he can because he is 1 year closer to free agency right now than he was last year and he didn't play, right?
Yeah, but I thought there were rules about stuff like that.
Okay, I don't know all the details, but you're making sense.
There's got to be, because it would be way too easy for guys to do that all the time.
Yeah, you're making sense. I'm following you. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, the list came out.
I still think, bottom line, D-Mac, if you want Trent Williams, you got to go get him. Because this isn't going to go on forever. You know, the team at some point is going to want to get some value out of a guy that is doing nothing for your team, right? At some point, they're going to cave, and they're going to trade Trent.
You know, I saw...
I keep interrupting you, but did you see he came down on his salary demands as well? You
know, I did not see that. What's he down to?
Well, the number was 20 previously. That was the number that everybody was expecting. Well, Trent's agent came out and said, well, if there's some team out there that wanted to pay Trent $16 million, that's not gonna end it for us. In other words, you want to pay him... We've come down $4 million. You want to pay a 16 instead of 20, okay, he'll play.
Right, because obviously everybody is scared off by the 20, scared off probably by his age, even though he's been just unbelievable. I mean, there's weird things that go by every day. You know, of everything that's been closed and shut down, NFL free agency and deals, that's not one of them, is it? I mean, there's plenty of stuff that's been going on.
Oh, it's moving. Yeah, NFL life is going on.
So here we are more than a week after free agency started. what does it tell you about guys who are still available? You're just, you're not quite as valuable as you thought you were. I don't know how else to put it at this point.
That's for sure true. It's for sure true. But there's going to be exceptions. You know, Robbie Anderson was an exception a couple days ago when he signed for a two-year, $20 million deal. There's going to be guys out there that still get a relatively big deal. But the majority of guys, I mean, hello, like wake-up call. The phone's not ringing. If the phone's not ringing, your value isn't very high, right? So if you want a job, it's probably a good idea at this point to just take a job.
What do you think the Broncos could get Trent Williams for now?
Man, I honestly wonder if you packaged Garrett Bowles, and it's not so much about him and his value as it is just somebody to plug and play for the Redskins, right? If you packaged Garrett Bowles and a second rounder, maybe you got to add in a third rounder. But if you packaged Garrett in a second rounder, I bet it would be tempting for the Redskins.
And then you'd have to be ready to do a new deal.
Oh, well, of course. Yeah, I mean, that comes with it. Anybody that gets trained has to be ready to give a new deal.
But now we're down to $16 million.
Yep. That's, you know, and if they're down to 16, well, that's the starting point. You know, so it probably could go down to 15, 14. I don't know.
You liking this more and more?
I love it. I just don't understand why this hasn't been a no-brainer for us for a long time. Look, the reality is the offensive line is not fixed. It's not fixed. And we're not going to address it in the first round, more than likely. More than likely, we're going to take a wide receiver. And if you look at that offensive line right now and you tell me that you feel comfortable that Garrett Bowles and Juwan James are going to get through a 16-game season and neither one of them are going to be a problem, neither one of them are going to cause you to lose a football game or three, well, I'd call you flat out a big dummy. You're a big dummy if you think that that's true, right? So, yeah, let's go solve it.
Okay. Well, still on the radar. You know, there was a review of the Broncos free agency, according to Pro Football Focus, and I wanted to dig into it a little bit, but they said that basically it's been a perfect free agency for the Broncos, except for the Melvin Gordon deal. And everything about the Melvin Gordon deal is, well, with that money, you could have got a receiver. And I'm just like, they didn't want a receiver. They didn't want Perryman or Robbie Anderson. They weren't, at the end of the day, they didn't want that.
No, Pat Shurmur needed the key to his entire offense.
Yeah,
he needed his bell cow running back that the entire offense will run through.
So all this criticism about Melvin Gordon seems ridiculous to me because it's presupposing that they wanted something they didn't want. So the answer to me in terms of value of free, see, that's why when they lost DJ Reader, that was a rough one because he chose somebody, Cincinnati of all teams, over the Broncos for $3 million more over 3 years.
Yeah, you knew that they wanted him. But I think Melvin Gordon, it's not so much about like going out and getting a running back. Is I think there's just flat out a lot of people out there that are saying Melvin Gordon just is not worth $8 million per year. A guy that averaged less than 4 yards per carry. I think reasonably so, people are questioning, why? Why? Why does this make sense?
Why do people care? It's not their money. Why do you care what he gets? And why does the amount make such a big difference?
Why do you think you're smarter than John Elway? Because it's fun to think that you're right. It's fun to be the armchair GM.
Listen, man, this is nobody's been more critical.
Are you smarter than John Elway?
In terms of what?
Everything. Life.
No. There's got to be something he's smarter than.
What about football?
What about what part of football?
Running a football team, not playing football. Are you smarter than John Elway?
John's becoming smarter by the day. So I tell you what, I'll give you this. I love every single move the Broncos have made in free agency. I love every freaking move.
You
every
dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball, D-Mac. That's good dodging right there.
Well, I mean, that has not always been the case. I mean, and I have blasted the Broncos on the draft over the years and the choice to take a pass rusher instead of a quarterback when you're at number five. I mean, I'm obviously not getting over that one, right? I mean, it's been pretty ridiculous how
you're
much
right.
I cling to that.
You're right. They should have drafted the best guard in, like, decades.
Yeah, you get.
Head exploding. I got steam coming out of my ears right now. My face is getting red. I can't even see D-Mac, but I can see his face is getting so purple.
You know, on that note, it's close enough to 5 o'clock on KKFN, KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver, right?
Sure.
Right?
Where was Stoke?
Stoke's always close by. You know? We're never that far away from Brandon Stokely.
KKFN, KKFN, HD1, Longmont, Denver.
That's our guy,
nailed
right?
It. Nailed it.
There he is. We will hear Peyton Manning being a superstar hero again. You know, it's funny because everybody's got some time on their hands, right?
Yes, even Peyton Manning does.
Actually, maybe we could do this right now, Kevin. Are we good to go with this? Okay, cool. So, Tyler, your kids are doing school at home, correct?
Yes.
What are they using technology-wise to do the school stuff? How are they doing it specifically?
Well, they've got a classroom portal that they're getting quizzes and tests and everything that comes through. And then they've got a Google Hangout that their class is all
so
in,
can you,
right?
Can you see all the kids' faces at the same time?
Yeah, you sure can.
Okay.
They got the teacher is kind of the biggest one, and then all the kids are just dialed in around the side.
All right. Well, I am no expert. But is it Zoom? Is that the name of the program that they're using?
No, Zoom is just a different product. It's
does the same thing,
though? You've got FaceTime, you've got Zoom, you've got Google Hangout. They're all the same thing.
Okay, so the concept is, this is a good concept because you see who's actually paying attention, right? You actually see who's in the class.
You do, yeah.
So the teacher theoretically could do attendance.
Oh, yeah, they do. Matter of fact, we got one of those notices because technically the Google Hangout times are optional, you know, because it's homeschooling. You don't know when the kids are going to be available.
Yeah.
And my son missed the first day, and we got an email that was like, hey, we missed you on the first day.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, no, I mean, she wasn't calling you out or anything. She totally understands. She's fantastic. But, yeah, no, they definitely know who is there and who is not.
This terrifies me for my 17-year-old that will be starting this second semester senior. I mean, he has already talked to us in length about how everything is BS at this point, and why don't they just let him graduate and, you know.
He only has two classes.
No, he's got five classes, but he only has to pass two of them to actually graduate.
That's a great
graduate.
Way to look at it. That is just, that's fantastic.
But he has to be,
and it's fantastic everything.
But check this out. He has to be enrolled in five classes in order to be available for sports with CHASA. So, but what are we doing with spring sports, right? Like, you know, where are we going here?
Oh, stop it. You're, like, giving him an excuse
for
him. What are you doing?
Dude, what do you think? I'm coming up with this? You don't think I'm being lectured by him about what's happening? No, I mean,
you're supposed to shut it down, D-Mac.
I'm trying to be nice to a kid who's losing out on so much stuff these days.
Oh, that's a slippery slope. Give him the world, man. I'm just telling you, when I'm a parent of a teenager, I'm going to nail it.
Okay, well, best of luck. I'm almost done.
Thanks.
You know, so you, I'm sure you can do better than me.
Yeah, yeah.
That being said, Peyton Manning was sitting around. Everybody's sitting around, right? Like, if you're a superstar, you're no different than everybody else. And apparently, I don't know what his major was at Tennessee. Maybe it was communications, which would be appropriate, I suppose. And he was he joined a class via whatever. So the teacher, who must have some sort of relation with Peyton, just brought Peyton into a classroom.
It was communication.
Okay, well, there you go. So here's Peyton Manning joining a college class earlier today via Zoom or whatever.
Mr. Thompson, I think you were late for class.
I'm sorry, Dr. Haas. It's been a while. It's been at least since 1997 since I've been in class. So.
Well, you know, if you were here, I'd be making you run the stadium sets for being late.
I understand. Well, these are unique circumstances. I'm sure this is the first virtual Zoom class you've taught in many years, I would think.
And then, but then he goes on. I want to play more. He goes on to give some advice to the kids. So here's Peyton Manning.
I just wanted to drop in and say hello to all the fellow communication students there, and realize this is a unique time and probably not the ideal way you guys expected to spend your senior year. But I just encourage you to keep a positive attitude, keep working like you're doing, and try to take advantage of the little bit of the extra time that you have to accomplish something else or help out somebody in need. A lot of people hurting out there during this time. Be thankful for what you have, and just know the University of Tennessee is proud of you and going to support you every way you can. And, you know, Dr. Haas and his department is going to do the same thing.
Okay, come on.
That was an unexpected Zoom attendee, right?
That's pretty cool. So a high five to Peyton Manning.
High five!
Yeah. Who do you think initiated that? Do you think that was Peyton Manning, like, hey, University of Tennessee, I'm bored, I want to do something? Or does Tennessee just call him and they're like, hey, can you just pop on in one of our classes?
No, I think what's cool is, I think that's Tennessee. I think specifically it's the professor, who we obviously had a relationship with.
Yeah.
I was asked to not have a relationship with any of my professors in college. That was a different set of circumstances, but it's it's conceivable that you have a good relationship with some of your professors.
Oh, my mind is running circles around that one.
Could you, Tyler?
Yes?
Off the top of your head, name your favorite professor in college.
It was not Churchill, I'll tell you that much.
What does that mean?
Ward Churchill, do you remember him?
No.
Oh, you don't remember Ward Churchill?
No. What's the deal?
He was the Native American Studies professor.
Oh, my God. Right.
I remember
Ward Churchill. Wow, that is a blast from the past.
Well, I've got a great story about him.
Well, go ahead.
So I took his class, and at the beginning, the very first class, he opens it all up, and the whole thing is just about how disparaging America is towards the Native Americans, right? And he starts the whole thing with saying there's been only one Hollywood-produced movie in the history of mankind that has ever portrayed Native Americans in a positive light. If you can find that movie, you do not have to take a test. You do not have to show up to class. You don't have to come to the final. You get an A. Get an A in the class.
Wait, what is the criteria again?
You had to find the one Hollywood-produced movie that, in his mind, portrayed Native Americans in a positive light. So, naturally, I'm a young college student that doesn't want to go to my class. So what do you think I do, D-Mac?
I don't look up movies? I don't know.
I go on a hunt. I go on an absolute hunt so that I don't have to go to class the rest of the semester. So I do that, and I actually track down. I go to the Native American Center in Boulder, and I ask their opinion. I came up with a handful of movies, and then I had to prepare a little report on why the movie I chose. And I can't even remember the movie name right now. I'm sorry, but I had to prepare a little report on the movie. I give it to him in class, and he says, "Wow, Tyler, very impressive. That is actually the one movie." See you later. So
get out of here.
No, I'm dead serious.
No way.
Yeah. So I don't show up to any class the rest of the semester, and I'm thinking this is the best thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, holy cow, you know? So I don't show up for the final. I don't do one single thing for that class, and then I get my report card, and I had a C minus in the I had a D minus in the class.
Wow.
And so I'm like, what? Like, how's this possible? I either got an A plus or I got an F because I didn't come to class a single time the entire semester. So how could I have gotten a D minus in this class, right?
Yeah.
So I take this thing to him. He's got no sympathy. He doesn't even have an excuse of why I get a D minus. And so I take it to the dean, and the dean is more or less says to me, well, listen. You got two options here. You can accept the D minus, or you can retake the class.
So
which one do you want to do?
Wow.
So I took the D minus.
Wow, what a story. That is insane.
Isn't it? I mean, I should have gotten an F or an A plus. One of the two.
Right.
Right?
He just never thought anybody would do it, huh?
Exactly. He said nobody had ever found it. Nobody had ever found it.
Wow.
Yep.
And you don't remember
I wish I could remember the name of it because that would mean that I took it more serious, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Man, that does go back, man. I do remember
So he is not my favorite professor.
No,
I'll
okay,
tell you that
good
much.
Enough. Good enough. A great story. I'll take
okay,
it.
Okay, I got my favorite. Professor Joe Romig.
Okay.
Yeah, do you know who Joe Romig is?
No.
Oh, come on. Come on. Hit the Google machine. Buffalo legend. Absolute genius. In the Ring of Fame. All of it, man. He taught astronomy, and he was fantastic.
Sorry, I didn't go to see you.
Yes.
So I'm sorry I'm down on my CU knowledge.
Yeah, what? Come on, you don't know who Joe Romig is?
It sounds familiar, dude, but, you know.
What?
Sorry.
Yeah. So anyways, Churchill.
Twitemic is affecting everyone. We've launched 1043thefan.com or 1043thefans gift card rescue to try and help some of these terrific local businesses. Go to 1043thefan.com/gift card and you'll find a constant updated list of local businesses. You can purchase an e-gift card to one of these local businesses to help them out more. Redeem it later when everything is a little bit safer, and we're going to get there. We'll get there eventually. It's a small way to help out, and it's available right now at 1043thefan.com. All right, Tyler, I understand you want to do a little bit of review. The free agency review. So when we look at the AFC West, who did what and how did they do? Go ahead. What do you got?
All right, man. All right, let's start right here. If you had to put a letter grade on the Denver Broncos offseason, what is it?
I give it a I'll give it a B plus.
Okay, are we a better football team right now, or were we better before we lost our free agents and free agency began?
We are a better football team right now.
Well, not according to the odds makers, D-Mac.
I saw that, yeah.
Not according to the best odds makers in the world. Las Vegas actually had us at the over-under win total was at 8 for the Broncos before free agency began. Well, now we've got our signings. According to Vegas, we are officially a worse football team. According to Vegas, our total is now 7.5, which is crazy, man. So we dropped a half game, which doesn't sound like a ton, but the reality is they've got us. Our odds of winning the AFC West are the worst in the AFC West. We are the least likely team to win the AFC West. Absolutely mind-blowing to me that happened. I mean, I for sure feel like we're a better football team right now.
Yeah, I do too. And I think everybody is freaking out and mistakenly criticizing the Melvin Gordon signing. And it's lowering things down. And again, the context of it, I think, is critically important. And nobody in their reviews of the Melvin Gordon signing, Tyler, is talking about Pat Shurmur and why this has happened.
I think that's true. I think the Melvin Gordon is getting terrible reviews just nationwide. But it's also not just about the Broncos. What it is that they believe that the Broncos had the worst free agency in the AFC West. They believe that they had the worst. So
I think that's ridiculous. Look, what have the Chiefs even done?
Okay, well, the Chiefs, that's interesting you bring it up. So let's go through some of the key additions for some of these teams.
Sure.
So we'll start with the Broncos. You know, the key additions, you've got A.J. Boye, you've got Jarrell Casey, Graham Glasgow, and Melvin Gordon. Those are all the big dogs, right?
Mm-hmm.
You move on to the Kansas City Chiefs, and they have the least sexy names on this list for sure. Guys that they brought in, guys like cornerback Antonio Hamilton, Chad Henne. They brought in the offensive tackle Mike Remmers, who I told you might make sense for the Broncos.
Right.
But they really didn't sign anybody. And the point I think that they're saying is that the Chiefs didn't need to add anybody. They were the Chiefs. They're just stable. Okay. Let's talk about the Raiders and the Chargers, because those are the two teams that we're really competing with, right? The Raiders, according to all the national guys, they had an A- in the AFC West for all of their signings. That is tied with, guess who? The Chargers. Mm. The Chargers and the Raiders, according to everybody else, had the best free agency. Here's who the Raiders brought in. I think, personally, the Raiders are in a landslide. They have the best free agency.
I do, too.
And an absolute landslide. They brought in Nick Wachowski. They brought in Corey Littleton, two linebackers that a lot of people in this room had on our board for the Broncos to sign, right?
Yep, that's right.
So you know what those two guys are fantastic at? They are awesome coverage players. Awesome. Okay. They are going to cover the tight end better than anybody in the AFC West. They brought in fantastic, fast linebackers. They also brought in a new starting cornerback, Eli Apple. They basically got rid of their entire defense, and they're just starting over on the back end, right? Brought in Marcus Mariota. And another guy, here's one of my favorite signings, believe it or not, Jason Witten, tight end. He's going to do a great job for the Raiders. He's going to be the relief valve. He's going to have a great presence, a calming presence in a team that's a little bit chaotic. They did a great job. Here's the Chargers. Chargers brought in Brian Bulaga. They brought in Chris Harris.
Mm-hmm.
They brought in Linval Joseph and Trey Turner. Okay. Or excuse me. Just Trey Turner there. Trey Turner and Brian Bulaga apparently are going to make the world of a difference on the offensive line for the Chargers, that they give them an A-. All that being said, do you think it's fair that the Broncos have the least likely odds of winning the AFC West?
I don't think these people who are looking – the least likely odds of winning the AFC West.
Yep.
No. I think the Chargers – this is so silly. Who's their quarterback, dude? Who is
Tyrod
the Chargers quarterback? Is he?
Nope, it's Justin Herbert.
You sure? Right. And who is the Raiders quarterback?
Marcus Mariota after week four.
Right. And, you know, the Chiefs are the Chiefs. No, I think the Broncos, listen. And by the way, the Chiefs, you know what they're planning on doing with Chris Jones, Tyler, after they tagged him?
Tell me.
Trading him. Like, every article I read today was they just tagged him so they could trade him later. Chris Jones is on the trading block right now.
Hmm.
Yeah. They got no money. And they're about to, they have to, at some point, sign Patrick Mahomes to probably the richest contract in NFL history. I mean, they are so...
But they've got the fifth-year option, D-Mac.
They do, so there's no rush to do that.
So why would they do that early? Out.
They don't need to. They shouldn't do it early. I have a steak dinner bet with Mark Schlereth about that very notion right there.
Yeah, you're going to be wrong on this one.
Really?
Yes, so really. Hold on. Let me ask a question. Is the bet specifically that they won't extend him before the fifth-year option?
No. The bet is they won't extend him before training camp this year.
Oh, okay. I bet you win that one.
Well, that's right. That's right. That's right.
Okay, yeah, I got your back, partner.
Bringing us into this conversation, let's go to Nikki Jabala of The Athletic. Hey, Nikki, in your opinion, how did the Broncos do in free agency?
I thought they did pretty good. I mean, I thought they filled a lot of their biggest needs in trading for A.J. Bouye and Jarrell Casey on defense and then signing a handful of guys on offense and even a punter on special teams to fill in, you know, a lot of their weakest points. And they still have, you know, a decent amount of cap space left, not a ton, but, you know, enough to kind of add some depth pieces before the draft in late April. And now they go into the draft feeling like they can just take the best player on their board and still feel like they have enough additional talent and have made enough upgrades across the board where, you know, they'll be okay.
Why do you think the national writers are so low on the Melvin Gordon signing?
I don't know. You'd have to ask the national writers that.
You're supposed to know the heartbeat of him.
I think a lot of it is his play last year was down, you know, by his standards and, you know, the standard for what the Broncos offered. I think people look at, you know, the $8 million a year and think that's too much for a back, and especially someone like him who didn't have a great season. I personally like it. I mean, you know, my tune could obviously change if he doesn't produce or if he can't stay healthy. You know, I would imagine Philip Lindsay doesn't like it as much. But, you know, I think it's a good addition. They needed a more complete back, especially in Pat Shurmur's offense. And, you know, if Melvin Gordon can stay healthy and produce like he did a year or so ago, I think it's a huge boost to that offense.
Nikki, you had a chance to chit-chat with Jeff Driscoll. He was on a conference call today. What impression do you have about our backup quarterback? I think he's a backup quarterback.
He's a backup. he seemed very nice. He seemed impressed by Drew Lock. Said Drew called him almost as soon as he agreed to the deal with the Broncos and thought that was very classy. He's one of three former Lions to come over here. So he had a really great answer when he was asked about Graham Glasgow, the new guard that the Broncos signed, and spoke about his versatility and whatnot. So, I mean, I think he's QB2. He's the guy that, you know, most people with Drew Lock at the helm hope to never see in the game. But the Broncos, you know, in signing him, I guess they feel like he's more experienced and a better fit for the offense, you know, should anything happen to Drew and they need to go to the backup.
Let me ask you this. Is the door closed on backup quarterbacks, or if they could get Jameis Winston for a one-year deal for $4 million, would that still be a possibility?
I haven't heard anything of the like. I think they seem pretty settled. I mean, you know, if they get something that cheap, maybe they consider it, but, you know, I think they don't want to give the impression that they're at all considering moving away from Drew Lock at this point because they're all in on him. They basically brought in an offensive coordinator geared toward his strengths and built an offense around him. So I think they'd be a little hesitant about that. So I haven't heard anything of the like. I mean, I always say never in this league, especially with this team, but I'd be surprised at this point anyway.
I guess I'm going to keep asking you this until something happens, but what the heck's going on with Derek Wolf and Shelby Harris?
I think if I had to guess, and I haven't heard specifically, you know, part of the holdup with the coronavirus pandemic is, you know, guys have had trouble getting physicals, and coordinating that with a new team. And for somebody like Derek, who has, you know, a pretty lengthy injury history, though he's completely healthy and fine now, you know, a new team wants to make sure that he's all good before sending him to a new contract, and there could be some hold up there. With Shelby, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he signs, you know, a one-year deal at this point. I'm surprised it got to this point. I thought he would go in the first wave and kind of get a big deal after what he did last season, but I think at this point, now that he's in the second wave and it's kind of dragged on, I wouldn't be surprised if it's
a 1 year. What teams still have any money left? I mean, who's out there and they still got some cash?
I mean, nobody has like the $10, $11 million a year that we were talking about for him.
It's gone, right?
Even still, like, the cap space, it's so misleading because, like, you look at Graham Glasgow's deal, his average payout is $11 million a year, right? Well, his year one cap is 5.6. So you can manipulate it so many ways to get guys under the cap. And they could do that with Shelby, but at this point, it doesn't look like it's going to happen.
ESPN put out the top 25 free agents for 2021. Talk about looking ahead a little bit. No Broncos were on that list. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? I'm asking both you guys that. Is it a good thing or a bad thing that no Broncos free agents will be available, at least in the top 25, as considered by ESPN? What do you think?
They're making some assumptions there. I mean, what if Justin Simmons plays on the tag? Then he's a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
If Von Miller, if his option gets declined next year, he'll be a free agent. So I guess they're going strictly on who's legitimately and unrestricted next year. Yeah, I mean, it's...
Well, I guess on the opposite side, hopefully it's just we got a young core that's here for a while.
That's right. That's where I was going, that maybe this is a positive. If you can say that, well, the Broncos are in a position where their best players aren't going to be just gone. You know, George Kittle will be available. Joey Bosa will be available. Jalen Ramsey, David Bakhtiari, Alvin Kamara, Patrick Peterson. You know, I could keep going on. And the Broncos don't have any of those guys. Does that, to a certain degree, show their strength of what they have if you believe in the core players they actually have?
Yeah, but the best players rarely hit free agency anyway.
True.
They reset the market because, you know, that's what it is, but they're usually not the best players.
Did you get Vaughn anything for his 31st birthday?
Which is today, by the way. It is today. Didn't last year he got a Ferrari or something, I think? Or was that two years ago?
From himself, I think.
From himself. His brother, I think his family bought it. I remember that video.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Oh my God, I got myself a Ferrari. That's incredible. Look what I got myself.
Right.
I love how surprised he looked when he got it, too. Like, how did you guys know?
You guys are so amazing. Buy more stuff with my money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nikki, did you take Joey for a walk today outside?
We've been on three already, actually.
Three walks.
So, you know, there's just not much going on right now.
Were there as many, not as many, population-wise, what struck you from being out and about today?
I mean, I live in the suburbs. There's really nothing. It just kind of stays the same. You know, it's nice out. It felt like any other day.
No difference.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely quieter. I mean, like, the nearby stores are closed and, you know, not as much traffic on Parker. So, yeah, it's a little different, but I don't think it's nearly as different if I were living in New York. I think that would be pretty eerie.
All right. Well, then we appreciate it, Nikki. Thank you. We'll talk to you soon.
See you next time.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right.
Bye, guys.
Nikki Jabala of The Athletic. Hey, Tyler, John Elway was talking about Melvin Gordon and Philip Lindsay. You got to hear his response. We'll have that for you next.
Columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.